recommendation. We're now open to discussion on that motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wires.
One of the things that Judge Crookham handed out, I think, gets real close to my major concern about this. It's got a heading on, it says Legislative Advocates. Report of Committee on Court Consolidation. And it goes on to list 2, 4, 6, 8 states in the District of Columbia that is apparently there have been consolidation there, and it lists what has happened. I don't know, did you pass one out for people who weren't here?
Yeah, it's in your it's in that stuff right there. That's diabetes.
Could mind what papers you've got on top of yours?
We can have mine. Here. Okay. At least I've got one.
And the point that this, I think, illustrates is that Illinois established associate judges who are responsible for smaller cases. I think associate judge probably means one that wasn't elected. District of Columbia established masters to hear family and did misdemeanors and other cases under $2,000 and so on. My concern is that if you now you have circuit court judges who resist consolidation because they say I wasn't elected to handle inferior court cases like dog court and traffic, run-of-the-mill traffic cases and that kind of thing. District court judges, to some extent, want to get away from that kind of work. It's one of the reasons they want consolidation. So the question will become, I guess it might be a little bit like if we said that legislative staffers would get to vote part of the time, then they might probably would want to have somebody else to do the bill filing in the office. People are doing that now. That's probably a bad analogy, but
could get us a Judge Wapner,
huh?
We can go find us a Judge Wapner.
Yeah, that's the concern. My biggest concern about this is that there would be a massive shifting around in the courthouse in Multnomah County, but you'd end up with having a lot of people coming in then. In their one contact with the court, which is to come to a small claims court because they're having to evict a tenant that isn't paying, or they've gotten a ticket. Both of my in-laws have been, although they don't live in Portland, have been in there on a ticket at one time or another. That's the only time they ever have gone into Multnomah County Courthouse. And they would then probably be encountering a judge who was not elected. And I just think that a lot of people who are elected tend to be so much more responsive to citizens and listen and try and explain things to them. That's my biggest concern, and I'm all for the administrative efficiency but I think a lot of the problem is that it's just in our county, it's just big enough that even if you consolidate, you're going to have some judges are still going to be the ones that are handling those kinds of cases unless they can wriggle free. And so anyway, I don't want to belabor this filibuster. But
well, do you want to make a motion to amend to delete everything except Section 8?
Well, I guess if I thought there was any interest in that, I sure would. Section 8 is the section that says that that the presiding judge, with the approval of the Chief Justice could establish consolidation by court rule, and this would then give the flexibility to set this up to the fullest extent possible by agreement rather than by legislative fiat.
Step forward in the right direction, Senator.
Want to make that motion?
Yeah, I would make that motion.
Senator Wires moves that Senate Bill 49 be amended to delete sections 1 through 7. Discussion.
guess, Mr. Chair, I'm tired of arguing and fussing and pleading and fighting, so I would like to think that whatever we could get regarding consolidation would be better than another fight on the floor, so.
Well, there's one question I've got on that, and that's subsection C. If I were going to vote for this bill as a whole, and I've got some reservations about it, I probably would suggest that we call this court the district court instead of the circuit court. And now I'm wondering about subsection C here. This just kind of automatically puts the powers of the presiding judge in the hands of whoever the circuit court judge is, the way I read it.
But you'd rather have the Chief Justice appoint the presiding judge of the administratively combined circuit and district court rather than the way it is?
Well, yeah. Well, that might be kind of academic depending on how people feel about this bill as a whole. What you're suggesting is that subsection C be changed to say that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court shall appoint the presiding judge of the administratively and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right. Let's consider that amendment. Then discuss that for a minute. That'd be an amendment on to subsection C on lines. It would be actually on line 16, and the word presiding judge, it would be changed anyway to reflect what Senator Wire just mentioned, that the presiding judge would be, the judge would be appointed by the Chief Justice. Could be a circuit court judge or a district court judge if this administrative consolidation took place. Is there any objection to that change, Senator Brennan?
I got a question really on Senator Wire's motion on deletion of the first seven sections.
Okay, well, you want to do, all right, go ahead and ask that question. It might relate to the Second Amendment.
Well, essentially what that does then, as I understand it, would leave it up to each district then to decide for themselves.
That's what I understand it, yeah. It's strictly a discretionary thing.
Which is not much more than what we have currently today.
Well, would they be able? Would it separate? Keep them separate from district and?
Oh yes, they'd be separate courts, as I understand this. But they could administratively decide to.
And they have that ability to essentially do that.
Except that there's no common judicial administration. They still run separately from each other, and this would just allow the courts to set up kind of a central administration. I would guess that may be fine in some counties and probably wouldn't happen in other counties. As long as you leave it up to the judges to make these decisions, well, you're not going to have uniformity. We know that. Yes, Senator Wire.
It's my impression that the circuit court judges who have questions about this have gotten the message that this committee is very close to sending this bill out, and people in the bar have told me that they have certainly gotten the message, people who have been coming around talking with us about this bill. I don't think it's going to exactly fall on deaf ears. I agree with you that it's hard to get judges to agree on things in some situations. It's hard to keep people from breaking down into subunits when they get about so big.
Well, I would tend to agree that if something isn't done to in the next couple of years in terms of these judges in some places working a little better together, that maybe the legislature is going to mandate a one-level trial court. So whether this would be of any help or not, I don't know. We'll go back to the Second Amendment, which would change that to make the presiding judge the appointee of the Chief Justice. Does anybody object to that change? Okay, that's adopted, and so the question is on the First Amendment whether we should delete everything in the bill except Section 8, and I'd like to hear some discussion on that.
Mr. Chair, can Senator I ask Hamby. Senator Wires his objection to, let's look at section by section, Section 7, a plan emanating from... the judicial districts. At least if we could get them to sit down together and talk about it, perhaps. How do you legislate a cooperative effort?
Chair, sure, you combine them.
Pardon?
You combine them.
You combine them. I'd prefer, yes.
Well, I suppose that Section 7 wouldn't really do anything either, would it? I mean, it wouldn't affect the consolidation. It would just promote, I suppose, working toward that. Is that right?
That would cause people to study it. Probably create some movement toward it. So I don't object to Section 7.
You want to change your motion to amend your amendment to delete everything except Section 7 and 8 then?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, in all fairness, or to the audience also, I did not do my homework. I mean, I didn't check with the other committee members whether there would be supportive votes. I get the feeling, however, that both you and Senator Wires would not support the bill as it stands right now.
Well... I frankly don't have strong feelings. I really don't. I would support Section 7 and 8 without any question, though. I'm actually trying to find out what the sense of the committee is because I don't have, you know...
Prepared to support...
As hard as it is to believe there are some subjects that I don't have deep, strong feelings about.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to support the bill the way it's written.
You're prepared to support the whole thing, Senator Brockman?
Once again, something strange is happening. I totally agree with you. I have no strong feelings one way or another about any of this aspect of this thing.
Well, Senator Wires?
I guess I do have some, but I, you know, this hour of this day is probably not the best, not a good time to confess to such, but... And I would have to be the first to say that having a very few short years ago been considered by many somebody who wanted to change everything, I've gotten used to working in a system, and it sure has a lot of shortcomings. But I practice a lot in the district court and in the circuit court in Multnomah County, and I don't see that just... by fiat, combining them, is going to solve the major problems. I think we ought to continue to do everything we can to encourage the kind of thing that Judge Kirkham testified to today, which was, I have to say, somewhat news to me, that he took a felony plea, I think he said, the other day, and they rushed out and got the district court complaint on another criminal matter in district court, and he handled those two together. And I have to confess, I haven't seen that done a lot. And it should be, but I sort of think that we've got a very effective and efficient district court presiding judge now, who I know wants this bill. So I'm not saying what that means, but he's got the district court running a lot better than it used to, at least. But. I have this fear that's not just something I've conjured up, that when I don't go hardly ever into the traffic court anymore. lawyers don't go there too much anyway, but that I'd go in there. We've got a lot of pro tems now. We'd have more if there was more money, which is the same problem if you just filled it up with pro tems. But there's something about walking into a room with a bunch of people who aren't used to the system. These are not, this isn't the criminal court where you've got people who have been in there before a bunch of times. These are people in there that have got a traffic ticket or they've got to get somebody evicted. It's real nice to have a judge in there. They act kind of, a lot of them act kind of like legislators. This is their one time that they're going to get to show people that they can be fair. And they don't go out, they can't go out and introduce a bill and get up and get some media. They're very limited in their contact with the public in a big town like that. So they just really lean over backwards to learn how to be problem solvers. And I would just hate to see that turned over to people, and I'm afraid it would be turned over to people they only think, when you hire somebody to be a magistrate, they think about what the presiding judge wants, what the administration wants, because that's who they work for. They don't ever run for election. Excuse me for talking so long. I'm not going to beat my head on the table if it passes out of here.
Well, right?
Or jump up.
I think I'll support your amendment because I would like to see how this works in practice, and I'm sure there's got to be a few counties in Oregon where this thing could be, if this bill were 7 and 8 were passed, I think there'd be 2 or 3 counties at least that would do this, and then we could see how it actually worked in practice. So I'll support the amendment. Is there any other discussion on this?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Hemme.
That, and so that we hopefully keep the momentum, however slow it might be, toward consolidation, perhaps conceptually, might we add a section requesting a report back to the next legislative session by the Chief Justice as to the... Pardon me?
That's in there.
Yes. I think that's already in there.
Plan should be submitted to the Chief Justice.
Well,
page 4.
I would hope that those jurisdictions that came forward with a plan that was acceptable to the Chief Justice would, in fact, be able to implement it during this next interim, and rather than just sit back on a plan, I would hope that, in the spirit of cooperation, they could begin implementing it prior to the next legislative session.
Well, I'll tell you what now. The Chief Justice is supporting this legislation, so I would guess that under the power given him in Section 7 that he's going to move to get some plans put together. I don't think it's just going to be a matter of hoping that something will happen. I believe something will happen. Judge Johnson, did you have something you wanted to say? All right. I don't want to work this thing to death now.
Well, I'm going to be very short. My name is Nellie Johnson, and I'm a district court judge. I was the chairperson of the subcommittee that came up with this bill. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I didn't have an opportunity to respond. First of all, there have been a number of studies that have been done on the consolidation subject. In fact, the Chief Justice appointed a committee to do a plan and a study, and that's been mentioned before, and based on that plan and that study, I believe the Chief Justice took the position in favor of consolidation. This issue has been before the legislature a number of times, and the courts have had an opportunity to try it out and try to work together, both district and circuit courts, and it hasn't worked out all that well, although with a new Chief Justice, there have been some counties that have tried to work together as a unified court, particularly Washington County and Clackamas County, and they have run across certain problems, and it was for that reason that they came in and requested that you pass the bill as it is.
Okay. Well, I think the fact this would put something on the books might provide some incentive that we don't have now with nothing on the books. So I understand your position. All right, well, let's go ahead. And any further discussion? Call the roll.
Brennan.
Aye.
Brockman.
Aye.
Cohen.
No.
Sandy.
Aye.
Gill.
Wyer.
Aye.
Fry. Aye. That motion passes. And so, Senator Wyer, you Senate Bill 49 is amended to the floor, do pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll on that. Call the roll on that, please.
Redman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Owen?
No.
Candy?
Aye.
Wyer?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay.
Commissioner, have you
yes,
dealt...
Yes, Senator Cohen.
Have you dealt with 497?
No, we haven't.
We have amendments?
Let's take a look at 497.
LC. 1112.
Did you say we did have amendments?
Well, I see LC 12. I see. I don't understand this. 1226. There seems to be something here. Actually, we have amendments, recommendations for implementing legislation, measure, bill for an act, section one. I thought we wanted to. Well, I guess we don't. We never did have amendments drafted then. That's my concern.
Are you talking about Senate Bill 497?
Yeah, the one that has to do with service to parent to custodial parents.
Yeah.
And we had testimony from the Adult and Family Services Division that they had amendments which could in fact straighten things out. And I thought we had them, but I guess we don't have them here. So I'm sorry that we don't. I don't know that they're in the bill files.
Yes, they are. If
they
you look
are.
At the last page of the testimony from Mr. Putman, that is, according to him, the language that was adopted by the Governor's Commission.
Okay, and they said that would do it?
They said that would do it, yes. Their concern with the original language is... Well, it's in the letter, but their major concern is that it requires them to make service rather than attempt service. And the original language says that they may make service by mail, so that they're only obligated to try.
I guess they just hadn't. I'm sorry. I think it ought to be LC'd and put in. I think it's worth giving at least some support to people that are trying to modify their visitation or modify things to get custodial parents to come in. And if they're trying to modify some of those.
So your suggestion is to adopt the amendment in concept?
Yes, the amendment as here that say recommendations for implementing legislation doesn't have a date on it. It's attached to Mr. Putnam's testimony dated April 2nd, the last page, actually.
Anybody have any objection to the adoption in concept of that amendment, which is going to have to go down to legislative council? Comes back here?
Well,
wouldn't necessarily have to come back through here.
I think it probably should, Mr. Chairman.
All right, fine. Well, let's just send it down there then and take this up at a later work session.
Yeah, I would ask that we do that.
Okay.
I think it's a worthwhile enough issue that we not just table it or drop it or put it under the...
All right.
Could we at least make some determination with the committee that we're voting to adopt the amendments in concept, have them come back with a quick work session to review on the side?
Well, yes. Is there any objection to the amendment in concept now that we have here? All right, and that'll be the order. And unless somebody wants to move to table this bill, that's what we'll do. Okay.
Well,
yes, Senator Wyer.
I wonder if Senator Cohen would feel comfortable about our moving the bill out with the understanding that she and the chair would look at it when it comes back.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. I don't know how close. If you don't want to post and bother all that stuff again, I'm happy to do whatever the chair wishes to do with
back
this.
Back on the agenda, maybe.
Well, if that's all right with the committee, it'll just save us putting it back on the agenda. So if there's no objection to the bill as such, then we can do that. Is everybody in agreement with the bill then as such? Yeah. All right, well,
like
let's do
it's
that.
It's a terrific bill.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we send Senate Bill 497 then to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
All right, that's...
Assuming we check for the technical amendments from LC.
All right, Senator Cohen's motion is to send Senate Bill 497 to the floor with due pass recommendation as amended in the form to be provided by legislative council and approved by the chair. Is that stated accurately enough? And when I say the chair, I'm talking about Senator Cohen telling the chair whether it's in proper form or not. Is that all right? Okay, call the roll on that.
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, that motion carries. Pick a number and go ahead.
Can we talk a minute about the Psychiatric Review Board one, 493? I know that...
I was thinking about trying to move it out before you got here, just to fool you.
You could move it.
Yeah, that's fine with
Mr.
me.
Mr. Chairman,
The chair said, council may know... Chair said that he's found something about the language, the wording of it. I'm not
surprised at that at all. I think it's an important option to either to have down in Ways and Means or to have someplace so that it isn't killed. If you look at the...
This is talking about Senate Bill 493, which is the one about... when the Psychiatric Security Review Board contracts with somebody to be responsible for somebody who's under the jurisdiction of the Psychiatric Security Review Board, those contractees currently have to buy liability insurance, which I think it's understandable that's high rates. And so this would put that under... the Oregon risk management, which would the trade-off you get is that the then you limit potential victims' recovery to the state tort claims limit, which we all know so much about recently. We've been talking so much about lately, the 100,000, 300,000. But the anomaly in all this is if the person is return to their home under the jurisdiction of Psychiatric Security Review Board, you have the limit. But if you put them into a place where they get more supervision, they don't have the limit and you've got this insurance burden. So that's the problem I've been struggling with myself. Yeah. Senator Cohen.
It's a really unhappy situation. I guess when I'm looking here that the part of the money down in Ways and Means is going to be devoted to a 35-bed ward at a biennial cost of $1.6 million will be needed every 9 months. And if we don't use, if we're not willing to deal with some of the providers out there, albeit most of them are nonprofits, the court case that came really what happened to be a private hospital, but I think what we're talking about is the other nonprofits involved here too. The risk management result that we got back said $6,700 would be the cost of carrying those limited number of clients in the risk pool. I just, whether it ultimately has to go as a Ways and Means, it just seems to me like Senator Wire said, if you parole them to their home neighborhood without supervision, they are the responsibility of the state. If you parole them to a correctional officer, they are the responsibility of the state. Get them into a treatment program, then, somehow they're not. And
that's the whole point. The
and
system
I guess that's,
doesn't work
this is a very narrow cut at a very broad problem that's out there facing all of what we're trying to do in terms of pushing people out into nonprofit services rather than, in terms of the institutionalization and everything. And I guess I'm not happy with this resolution necessarily, but I don't know what else we can do right now. And that's why I raised the bill and raised the issue. And I don't think we ought to let it die here in this committee and keep it open for some discussion, whether the governor likes it or he doesn't like it. I'm not sure that the governor ought to like spending $1.6 million every 9 months on beds either. When you have empty hospital beds out there, that could be.
Of course, I don't want to seem to be disagreeable about this, but.
Oh, go ahead.
Isn't the trade-off partly how many people we're going to have in the penitentiary versus under the supervision of the Psychiatric Security Review Board?
I don't know how much the Psychiatric Review Board doesn't really deal with the penitentiary people. They deal with the state hospital people. You either keep them in the Oregon State Hospital.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about when a person commits an act that if they were sane would be a crime, then you got to decide, are you going to say, okay, they were sane, they're going to go through the criminal process, or are you going to say, no, they were guilty but insane, and then to some extent the decision about that is driven by where you've got beds. One of the historical facts about this, and I'm not up to date on it, but one of the historical facts has been that the Psychiatric Security